All right, so we're going to begin back on Yalkut Yosef, Reish Nun Bet, 252, and we're going to be talking about telephone. So, telephone, Hubalo, Machshet, Letash, Nikolay, Mazgira, Ektronit, Shat, Mintalfen, Mikaber, Hoda'a, Limsora, Shmo, Ketuvato, Uwikshato, והכל נקלט, ובעל הטלפון, מה שאיר הטלפון, מערב שבת, כשעה לפני השבת, או תוספת שבת, או לפעמים יש חנונים המתקשרים בשבת, והיא קולטת את הכל. מוצא שבת ניגש בעל הטלפון, שמיע לכל, שהוקלט, מערב שבת, או בשבת, שבר עצמו, ואם הוא רופא מחיש רפואה תולעה, או שהוא סוחה מקבל הזמנות, משהו כזה, במקומות שרוב אנשי העיר הם גויים, ישתה בזה, ואם בזה חשש משום לפני עיוור לא תיתן מכשול, לא משום איסו מסעיע עבדי עוברי עבירה. Mokomot, Shroban Yehudim, Yeshachmin. Okay, so this is a major Hiddush, and I don't know it's the same din Bizman as that, but we'll go through it. Because basically the entire world runs this way now. Right, so he says that if you have a telephone, it's hooked up to this machine that records, right, because it used to be like on a tape, right, you remember? Like old school, and he calls it an electronic secretary. In other words, a digital recorder, or I guess it was an analog recorder at the time, and that may make a difference. That the telephone gets a message, and somebody puts their name on it, and with an answering machine. That's the word I'm looking for. But he's talking about old school. Well, there is a difference, and I'll run through it, and then I can kind of go through quickly what the difference is. And everything's recorded, and the telephone owner sets it up before Shabbat, and, sometimes you'll have chilonim, secular people, they're going to call, and it's not going to censor out who's calling. Right, it's not shutting itself off. And Motzei Shabbat, you'll pick up the phone, you'll listen to the messages of whoever called. So if you're a doctor, totally fine. Or that you're some kind of renter, something where there's some need to do so. And he says, in a place where most people in the city are not Jewish, you can permit this, and you don't have to worry about lifnei aver. You don't have to worry about putting a stumbling block by having one of these machines, and you don't have to worry about helping somebody do an avera. But if you are in a city that's mostly Jews, there's reason to be mahmir. There's so much going on that this halakha, this is one of those things, like, why do we need new rabbanim? We can just have the halakha in one place and time, and that's it. And that's because the world changes, and especially as technology updates, there's so much in here to dissect, because he's, first of all, saying, there's people who have this machine hooked up. Well, Bizman is man who doesn't. It's right. Just part of the service. Somebody calls and you don't touch it, you can't connect and disconnect. So, Bavadai, you're not having an issue of Lifnei Iver, because Lifnei Iver means you did something, you set up this contraption. We don't set up a contraption, Bizman is man. It's just automatic. And nobody thinks you're doing anything. So whoever's making that phone call is 100% responsible for whatever decision they made to make that phone call. You didn't do anything. In fact, the company would probably think you were weird that you wanted to shut off the answering machine. And I don't even know you could do it if you wanted to. It's just, it's on all the time. This becomes like the Hey Siri or Hey Google or whatever, that issue, right? That it, when you have these machines, they're going all the time. In order to listen to your instruction, you have Google, Siri, whatever these things in. They're constantly listening to you. And then it's just looking to for you to hit that algorithm. Did I put salt in my... Ew. I thought it should have. Whatever. Okay. Birmingham. So it's different from that standpoint that the technology is completely changed and the matzav is changed because you're not doing something active by setting the thing up. Also, analog is worse than digital. Why? Because analog, starting with the original analog, right? You know, the original Thomas Edison making a recording on wax, literally on wax. So there's a thing called kotev. When you take your pen, or even before pens, you had a stylus and you had clay, right? Think of the old cuneiform form, and you're literally pressing the letters in. Well, when you record things on wax, first it went wax, then it went vinyl, then it went to tape, right? And then CDs, right? You know, that was a big thing when I was in college, burning CDs. You know, you were all cool if you had a burner, $200, and like, you know, it took an hour, and you got your very own copy of a CD. But all those things, the major difference between all that technology and now, is digital is all stored in ones and zeros, and it's not writing to anything. It's all a theory. I don't even know that at the end on the other side of the server that there's somewhere that's physically, you know, putting these things on some kind of physical storage. I don't even know that exists at this point anymore. I mean, I know the technology still exists. I just don't know that's how things operate. I do not think you need to worry about this, but I would never want to contradict Rav Ovadia. I think the whole story changes. Number one, it's automatic. And number two, we're not talking about physical storage. And I think I mentioned this before. You know, how is it that you can have a Torah app on your phone, right? You can have Sidur with Shem Hashem on it. Why? Because you don't have Shem Hashem on it. You have a bunch of ones and zeros. And the second you click off your phone, those ones and zeros go away. It's not real. It's not real. And that makes a big difference how you handle things. Whereas in the case he's talking about a physical tape. Okay. Ma shematzui kayom shemandim mechonot miyuchadot shekol ahan yechol latet sham eza matbeot. את המכונה מערב שבת על מנת שלא להכשיר לקונים עשרי השבת. ויש רומן גויים, יש המתירים להפעיל את המכונה מערב שבת ליתן לתוכה מאכל משקה או מאכל שאין של שמו של ישראל על המכונה. ורק אם המכונה עומדת לרשות ישראל יש להחמיר. So this is also something I forgot to mention with the last halakha, but it also applies here. This issue of something being inside the city and outside the city with a telephone, you know, we all remember back in the day, long distance calling and, you know, how much more it was and things like that. so you didn't just have people calling from anywhere. And then if you get really, really old school, and that's kind of what he's alluding to, is that you had physical people sticking the things in and out, and then you really didn't call outside of certain areas. And then a halakha like, oh, if the city's there, that doesn't exist, Bazmanazah. Right, there is no boundary between here and there once you get in the digital land, and that, and I think to a lesser extent, but I think it does somewhat apply here. But it's good to be aware of. So what he says, there's this thing that's you'll find a lot these days that they have this weird machine, or not weird machine, but a special machine that you can stick in a coin, and then you can press a button, and automatically some food or drink will come out of that machine all by itself, and nobody needs to operate this machine. If you're in a city of all Jews and you own a vending machine, he says that you shouldn't be machshil Jews that they're going to use your vending machine on Shabbat. If the city's mostly goyim, you can allow it to operate, but you shouldn't if, like, you have, like, you know, was it bagels or whatever. Yeah, you shouldn't have a bagels machine. If it's just, like, M&M's or whatever, that would not be an issue. And if it's on Jewish property, then this would be, you should also be mahmir. Now, obviously, this is going to be not just at that point food and drink, but you also have, you know, you go to the airport, you have electronics, you have vending machines. In Japan, you can buy pets in a vending machine, apparently, you know, like you want to take home a bunny or whatever. I don't remember. I've heard some weird things. But more relevant now, and this might go back to Zion, is what if you have an ATM, you have a Bitcoin? Do you have to shut down your ATM or your Bitcoin ATM, right? It would appear that at the very least, in Eretz Yisrael, you should be mafmir. The whole idea of a city being Rov Goyim or Rov Yehudim Bizmanazah. In New York, everything mushes one into the other thing. Maybe you might have an issue going, let's say you go to, like, let's say Gateshead or Monroe, where it really is like Jews cornered off, and maybe that would be an issue. But the way most of us live, Bizmanazah, probably wouldn't be an issue. But just something to be aware of in case you want to buy a vending machine. And you actually can buy an ATM. Set it up somewhere, and that is a thing. Try it. Hey, Nishmoa Shirim, Ohdasho, Maradio the Shabbat. Ah, Imaradio, Hucham, Arab Shabbat, Al Yede, Shalom Automati, Shemadik, Umehaber, Radio Bellot. Im Tahara Radio, Mepon, Al Yede, Goim. אם כן, יש עלות להחמיר בזה, משום זילות השבת, ועוד טעמים. אפילו יש מודיע בפתח ביתו שהרדיו ערוך מערב שבת על ידי שעון שבת, וכן אין להפעיל טייפ מערב שבת על ידי שעון שבת, לשמוע שירים בשבת, משום זלזול בכבוד השבת, ועוד טעמים. So just... I'll go back, read this, and then we'll kind of keep going with it. One should not listen to songs or the news on the radio on Shabbat, even if you set up a timer, and if the radio is operating by non-Jews, you should also be stringent, because it's just Zilzul Shabbat and other things. In other words, there isn't a specific Isur you can point at, but It's what we would say. It's not.
It's not Shabbos steak.
But there are certain concerns. It's just we can't per se point to any one of them. But even if you make it known, even if you put a sign up in your window that says that this radio was set up from the Erev Shabbat, and you should not set up a tape to record Erev Shabbat so that you could listen to the songs on Shabbat, because this would also be Zilzul Shabbat and other reasons. Okay, so there are two ways that could have gone. Because there's two things you could do with a tape or a DVR. Right. You could either use the timer to listen to something or watch something. Or, let's say there's a show you wanted to watch, you could DVR it. Right? So that's not what he's addressing. He's not addressing the DVR issue. Like, you know, you want to see something that happened on Shabbat. You really want to see it. We'll see if he addresses that issue.
What did he really do?
Right, because in that case, there are other considerations, whether or not it's Jews or Goyim operating or whatever it is. And like, basically, Bisman is everything's getting recorded all the time. But Eretz Yisrael shall all deem b'tachnara shidur ahim yudim aruhu yahanam amenachat Shabbat. And in Eretz Yisrael, you really do have a real halachic issue that's not just Zilzul Shabbat or it's not Shabbos Day, is that by you listening to the radio, you're causing non-Jews to be machal Shabbat. That's much more of an issue. So if you have a secular neighbor, for example,
he was in position,
you shouldn't go and listen in to what's going on Shabbat. So
or you could rectify it.
I had a friend who told me that back in the day, he was Chilni in Israel, and then the Detzi Jews would come by and say, so I knew who's winning on the soccer match. And they just like start asking questions. So that would also probably fall within that Isur, because the Maaseh, you're relying on your friend who's still need to go listen to the radio, and he's going to tell you what is what.
So I can't tell you what time is it. He has to look at his phone.
The street.
So that is definitely more mikel for a couple of issues, right? Because a person doesn't need to look necessarily at their phone to do it. If they have a watch and they just have a regular watch, whatever it is, you're not making them.
What if they don't? You see that they have short sleeves.
Okay. So then, that person is doing a malacha for it. I mean, it's a big question if tapping the screen constitutes an actual malacha. It's definitely a derabanan. Right? So you want to say shvut to shvut. It's not a makom mitzvah. It's not a makom mitzvah. So unless, you know, there might be what to be matir if, let's say, you know, you need to know if you need to leave for matcha or something like that. Then maybe there might be a tzad to say, you know, you're out with your kid, you want to give your kid maximum time, at the other time you want to run to mincha, you don't want to be late for shul, maybe there's a heter. But if you're not sure, you don't know if they have a watch, you don't have a chiyuv to go look and see how they're going to know what the time is.
What if he's already on the phone? Does that make it easier?
Oh, if he's already looking at his phone?
He's talking to somebody or whatever.
That's exactly it. Is at that point, you know, he's not doing a malacha. He's just looking at something, right? The malacha is done because he already pushed whatever buttons.
And I always have the shower. I'm in the park or something. I don't carry a watch, so I always,
That I would not. I mean, definitely better to ask a non-Jew than a Jew,
right?
For sure.
Sure, right.
Except you have one little problem. You have one little problem, and it's called intermarriage. You cannot tell in New York, Bizman is that, if somebody's actually Jewish or not Jewish by looking at them. You can't.
Sometimes I know I ask them. We ask somebody outside to turn on lights for us if they happen to be Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. You, I mean, unless you, you know, there are certain things that, you know, you have a root. Not really.
I mean, what's the, well, much less chances.
No, I'm saying. So, for example, if you see somebody, if you know somebody is, let's say, from Haiti, and they're born in Haiti, and they're Christian, and both sides are practicing Christians, you have a reasonable assumption. You have a reasonable assumption that it's non-Jew. But if you have a situation, if you have a situation where you know, somebody's born in America, they may be black or Asian, but they're not particularly religious, so they're not telling you what their religion is. You don't know whether or not their mother is Jewish. You can't make that assumption. I've heard estimates that a quarter of Dominicans have Jewish heritage. A quarter. It's an estimate. But remember, Dominican Republic was the only place in the Western Hemisphere that let Jews in during the Holocaust, including America. You cannot tell. Now, that was...